This morning's scripture reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Here ends the reading of the word.
Well, today we finish our reflections on the Apostle Paul for a while. You may be saying, hooray, hooray, we're finishing Paul. We started reflecting on his work at the end of the summer, actually, and have looked at a variety of texts that deal with Paul, and the work that we looked at just before Colossians was Philemon, and that story, the narrative of Philemon and Onesimus takes place in the city of Colossae. And so what we looked at last week and this week is concerning originally to a house church in the city of Colossae. Colossae is in Asia Minor, Turkey today, not far from the Aegean coast, so maybe 100 miles in. And this letter was written to this small house church. How many people? City of about 100,000, we don't know, but enough that not more than could fit in a house, so maybe 20 believers in a larger house. So the letter is written to this house church and the dynamics within the community. And so we can imagine receiving the letter today, and the same sorts of dynamics go on. You notice that people don't really change too much over 2,000 years. What was going on 2,000 years ago with conquerors and emperors coming in and killing people. 2,000 years later, we still have lots of the same stuff going on. So the letter pretty much applies to where we are at. And the first unit we looked at last week was the beginning of chapter 3 in Colossians, and he's using the metaphor of taking off some old clothes and putting on some new clothes. And the metaphor primarily last week was taking off things that do not develop community in an atmosphere of love. So in verses 5 and 8 of chapters 3, there are two different vice lists, and Paul is saying, take these things off. And so indeed, we might think of that. If you just look at verses 5 and 8, and you think of a town, let's say, N.T. Wright uses this as an example, it's a good one. So a town, verses 8, where anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, those things are happening. Where it's a pretty negative place to live, would you choose to live in that town? Or if we hear what he has to say in verse 12, a town that is characterized by compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love, would you choose to live in that town? And probably all of us would say, yeah, I think that second town sounds better than one that is characterized by anger and wrath and malice, slander, abusive language. So we're to take off one and put on another. And in our world today, we still need to take off one and put on the other. So that's the principal metaphor he's using, taking off one set of clothes and putting on another set. So that's where we were reflecting. last week, and we move on to this new paradigm. But it begins with these words, because this reminds us and reminds the Christians in Colossae who they are, as far as Paul is concerned. They are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Those are the three descriptors that characterize the church, this little church. They have no building, not a building like this, just meeting in someone's house. Yet Paul calls them, you are God's chosen ones, you are holy, and you are beloved. And Paul uses that kind of description to talk about the church. So the church are the chosen ones. That's the idea. It's the elect. And so as Israel was the elect of God, chosen by God to be a light to the world, so in Paul's mind, the church is this group of elect. Not elect meaning you are special and you are better than everybody else. That's not the idea. You are elect to be light. You are elect to shine and to speak to others. That's what the elect is always about. So you are the chosen ones by God. And as a result of that, you are holy and you are beloved. You are holy. You are holy because Christ and God are so holy. And His holiness shines in our lives. So whatever sin we have, and we all have sin, we've all messed up, we've all got characteristics that are not so great, we're all broken and fragile. We know it, right? We know it. We know who we are. We know what we're like. We don't have it all together just because we're Christians. But God sees us as holy. It's like this massive sun that's shining, and it just blows away any imperfections we have. His holiness is so great that God sees us in light of Christ's holiness so much that He calls us holy. We are holy. God sees us holy because we are connected to Christ. And we are also beloved. We are beloved by God. And so we have these statements. Chosen, holy, beloved. This is who we are in Christ. And so our world, as Tamara said in her introduction, we live in a fearful world. Fearful things going on in our world. Brussels, for 2 days, as you know, has been under just a siege, essentially. Everybody's just off the streets. They're staying away from any public areas because they're afraid of something that might happen. That's going on in a major city in our world right now. How long will that go on? We don't know. But fear, our newspapers and our news stations characterize this fear. But Paul is saying we are chosen, we are holy, we are beloved, and we can rest in that reality. We can rest and know that we are loved. Know that God sees us that way. So that is an amazing, amazing statement. And that is how we are supposed to live. We are supposed to live in light of the fact that we are loved by God. We are the beloved. John says in Revelation that God has given each of us a stone with a name, and that name is unique. That is your unique name that God has given you, a beautiful white stone that nobody else knows. It's got your name on it. God loves you. He loves me. That's how we are called to live. Not in fear, not afraid, but trusting in God, depending on God, because we have a bigger paradigm than what the world is operating with, Paul is arguing. Life in Colossae was not that great 2,000 years ago either. To be a Christian, you were a marginalized group. You couldn't get good jobs. You certainly couldn't get a government job. You were a Christian. At any time, the government might clamp down. The Roman government might clamp down and have a pogrom, and the Christians are out. That could happen at any time. But we're reminded of who we are. So that's where Paul begins. Holy, chosen, beloved. That's our status. That's our situation, the beautiful reality. In light of that, he then goes on and he says, well, let's put on these clothes. Clothe yourselves with compassion. 3 times in this unit, he uses the word clothe. Put them on. Clothe yourselves. With clothes? No, but with these virtues. Instead of a vice list, verse 5 and verse 8, these two different vices, groups of vices that are presented, here we have virtues. Put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Remember, he's writing to a little house church. Why would he say in a little group of 20 people, bear with one another? If anyone has a complaint, forgive each other. Why? Because that stuff was happening. We're broken people. We're going to disappoint. We are going to say goofy things that hurt people. That happens. We don't necessarily want to. It just happens. Sometimes we intentionally choose to do it. Our response is what? To forgive one another. Why? Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is all the first unit. To which indeed you were called, note, in the one body, in the body of the church. He's speaking to that, and be thankful. So put on the five virtues that are listed here and reinforce it with forgiveness. That is what the church is to be characterized by. And would that stand out? Would that stand out in the Greco-Roman world? Yeah, Paul is saying, you will shine like stars. You will be a different community. Because the community aren't usually characterized by those realities. So put on the five virtues, like putting on a new set of clothes, and reinforce it with forgiveness. So you know, the theological reason that's given to put on the virtues here is that God has forgiven us. And because of that reason, we forgive. So what happens when we're upset? Long time ago, I don't know where I heard this illustration. It's not a big illustration, but I heard it somewhere. You have a glass of water, and somebody bumps me. Woo, there it goes. Water on the floor. Whatever's in the glass comes out. Whatever's in you, when you're bumped, that's what's going to come out. Whatever that is, when our equilibrium is upset, that's what's going to come out. That's what Paul is saying. If we have a lot of anger, somebody buds in front of you when you're at the shopping, when Beth is out shopping, doing shopping for the household. Good for you, Beth. I appreciate that very much. I'm at home studying and reading books and doing things like that. Beth is out there shopping. Yes! Woo! I'm kidding. I'm not actually kidding. Beth does all the shopping. That's just... Well, when you're in line and somebody bumps you, what happens? Whatever's inside is going to come out. If you're angry and upset, right, it's pretty hard to mask that. If that's what's going on inside, it's probably going to come out. If you're full of love and compassion, then love and compassion will come out. So Paul is saying, put these virtues on. And then when our equilibrium is upset, that love will come out and that'll make a difference. And why? Because God has done this for us. He has loved us. He has cared for us, our relationships, and then put on love. So he puts on the five virtues, put on forgiveness, and then the one virtue that ties it all together is love, agape love. It's interesting, in the Greek world, the Greco-Roman world, they were looking for one virtue in that philosophy of the day. What is the virtue that ties it all together? They were wondering about that. What brings harmony to the whole? So they had lots of debates about which virtue was the one that tied it. For Paul, it is always love. Agape love is what ties it. It's like the belt, he says, that we put on that ties the whole piece together. Love. You put on a new outfit, whatever it is, and then whatever that final thing is that ties it all together in the ensemble, here he's saying it is love. So that's how we are called to live. That's what we are to put on in Christ. Is it impossible? Paul doesn't seem to think it's impossible. Why? Because Christ is living within us, and that love we can demonstrate because that's how he is. That's who he is. And finally, it results in peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's a very interesting phrase he uses there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Govern your hearts. Monitor your hearts. Direct your hearts. Peace both inside, internal peace, internal tranquility, quiet, Christ's peace within us, which then also shines out in peace in the community. A community will be peaceful as individuals are at peace. And so peace is to direct the community and is to direct us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So each of us, each day, we need to spend time, I think, sitting in quiet before God so that His peace might fill us, and then we go out in peace. If we go out agitated, then we're going to bring agitation. Be filled with peace. And then we share that peace. So that's how he ends this first unit. Put on the virtues, reinforced by forgiveness, tied all together with love, so that the final result is peace. Now we have to admit that would sound pretty good, don't you think? Wouldn't you want to live that way? Have all those virtues, being willing to forgive and not bear grudges. Not to hold on to a grudge for forever and forever. Let it go. Why? Because we're called to forgive. Christ forgave us. And then you tie that together with love and it ends up in peace. It's a beautiful thing. So that's where Paul is going. That's what we are to put on. So we note this means we are just not nice people. We're more than nice people. That's not the point. The point is not just so that we're all nice. But we're putting on Christ. We are living with Christ. His person is shining out in your life and my life. And that's what will give us peace. We'll say more about that in a moment. But it's not just about being nice with one another. There's lots of nice people in the world. But Paul is going deeper than that. He wants us to put on Christ. And secondly, it means relationship and community. We're called to be in community. We are not called to be non-communal. It's a lot easier to just be by yourself and be somewhat in harmony because you're not being bugged by anybody. If we all had little hermitages all around the planet, everybody had, you know, had your own room. Who wrote that? You need your own room. Okay. I had my own room. If everybody had that, I don't know, maybe we'd be at peace, but we'd be probably lonely then, right? We'd be uptight. We'd be, who can I talk to? I need somebody to talk to. I'd go over and knock on Natalie's hermitage. Talk to me, please. We're to do this in community because when we're in community, we rub each other. The friction starts. But it's within that reality that really we grow, we develop, we sharpen each other, Proverbs says, one with the other. So it's not just about being nice and it's not about being just by yourself, calm. But in community, we share and we experience life together and we shine for Jesus. That's where Paul is going. That's what he means by putting on this new set of clothes. So what helps us here? What helps us to have peace? What helps us to put on the new set of clothes? Paul then moves on. So the next unit, the last two verses, let the word of Christ, before it was, let the rule of Christ dwell in you, his peace, the peace of Christ rule. Here's the word of Christ dwell. Let his word dwell in us richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Sums it up in whatever you do in word or deed. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The last two verses focuses on two things. What helps us become peacemakers? Paul says knowledge. Wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Note, richly. Not just a little bit. He doesn't say, let the word of Christ dwell in you once a week for half an hour. A little bit. He says, let it dwell in you richly. Because that becomes a fountain then for us of knowledge, of insight, receiving this great book, the information, the teaching, led by the Spirit so that we might grow and know ourselves and know God. It was Augustine who says, you know God by knowing yourself, and you know yourself by knowing God. Calvin repeated the same thing. You know yourself by knowing God, and you know God by knowing yourself. So here, knowledge, wisdom, allowing the Word of God to saturate our lives will help us. So in our small group here at the church on Tuesday, Rebecca was sharing, Rebecca Moore. Hi, Rebecca. And we were talking about how do we live these virtues? And she was saying, well, you know, one of the things that, for me, it's being in the Word and allowing the Word to saturate me so that that happens. It's not just about trying harder, but it's allowing and receiving what God is doing in His Word. It's a very true statement. So we need to be in the Word of God to receive it, which enables us then to be at peace with ourselves and be at peace with one another. Let the Word of God dwell richly. So Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, great theologian, writes, His Word is to be alive within the Christian community. Note, there is always more about the gospel and also about the written gospels to explore and discover. So the Word is two things. The Word is the written Word and the Word is the living Word, Jesus. So we are to be open to the written Word and to the living Word. You will always discover more in the Scriptures. Something new will jump out. Some aspect of that phrase or that chapter will speak to you in a way you've seen it 1,000 times before, and it speaks again in a new way to you. That's why in our times together, each Sunday, we have time reflecting on the Word so that we might hear it and go deeper in it. That's the invitation. So for you and for me, how much are we in the Word? Meaning, how do we receive it? You know, am I receiving it deeply, richly, as Paul says? Let it shape our lives because it will bring us peace. It will allow these virtues to become part of who we are as we do so. But if we're not in it, then what shapes us? Whatever's going in your mind, whatever you're thinking about all week, that will ultimately shape you. If you never read, if you're only watching TV all the time, then those programs are going to shape you. If you never read the Scripture and you're always reading the magazines or the newspaper, whatever online or not online, then that will shape you, whatever it is. So we need to balance that with allowing the Scriptures to teach us. We are really fortunate, you know, in our day and age to have the Word of God, the Word, the Old Testament, the New Testament available so easily to receive it. I mean, 500 years ago, the Scriptures weren't available in English. That's not that long ago. William Tyndale, he was the first guy, translates it in English. Before that, it wasn't available. Greek, Hebrew, Latin. Average guy couldn't read it. So we now have it available. So we are invited to read it. So be in the Scriptures. Paul says it'll shape your life in a very positive way. The Spirit of God will work through it. We're Baptists, you know. Baptists are supposed to be people of the book. There was a day when Baptists were people of the book. So we have to ask ourselves, is that true today? I mean, that's kind of maybe a corny phrase, right? But are we allowing the Word to touch us? Second is a call to knowledge and thanksgiving. What helps us become peacemakers? Paul says to give thanks. To be grateful three times, 15, 16, 17. Be thankful or be grateful three times. Be thankful. Paul, this great theologian, and oftentimes we kind of almost have a negative reaction to Paul. If you go through his Scriptures, he's always talking about being grateful, being thankful. Because he knows who he was. He knows what he was like. He had people killed. He may have even done it. He knows who he was. And God, by his grace, changed him. So now he's thankful. He writes about it all the time. Be thankful, be thankful. So praise and thanksgiving is to shape us. So you note the piece on songs, hymns, spiritual songs. These are different ways of music. Let this music shape who you are. It means, what is setting the tone? What is setting the agenda for your life? When you go out today, tomorrow, what is setting the tone for your life? Paul says it is to be gratitude, it is to be thanksgiving. Let thanksgiving and praise shape your life, catch up with your life, so that you share gratitude with others. Praising God, being thankful. Can we do that in the midst of all the hardships, all the challenges, lots of challenges that are real, right? It's easy to forget and not be thankful. But Paul is saying there's this bigger. Put our heads through the human overcast. Go up above all the clouds and recognize what God has done for us. And give gratitude. Praise. So what helps us become peacemakers? Two things, he says. One, be in the Word. Allow the Word to shape us. Give yourself to God and praise. I don't know. Does that make sense? So that's our choice, though, isn't it? It's our choice to do that. We're not called to be cynical. We're not called to be negative. We're not called to be angry. We're called to be grateful. Why? Because God has done so much for us. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. We started that with our service today. That those words are incredible, describing in some way who God is. He is for us, so that we will be with him forever. Wow, we got to remember that in the midst of our challenges, your challenges, when your week doesn't go so good, when things happen at work that aren't so happy, when your neighbor bugs you, your colleague at work is always ribbing you the wrong way. I told you the story of my at Royal York years and years ago. I had a German chap, lovely family, the Langerts, Ed used to come here. His father worked on a factory, came over after the Second World War. He worked here for years. His work companions always gave him heck, always needled him, always got after him for years and years and years. Why? Because he was German. Just because he was German. The nicest guy, but they always went after him. His life was a living hell in many ways when he went to work. They were always on him. That's challenging, isn't it? But he had to just walk. Be gentle, not react and respond that way. But the guys, they just kept doing it. The line, the factory line, can be a tough place. I remember being at Humber College, having to do the night shift, didn't have any money. So I worked at the place where they were running off the Toronto Sun. And we'd go in for night. And the noise was incredible because you're right on the line and the machine was going all the time and the papers were coming off. And on my job, a bunch of other guys was to take the newspaper ads and put them in the paper. And the ink was just dripping off these papers at that point. And the guys were pretty nasty. The guy said to me, "Hey, I want to give you a new job." He says, "Come on over here. I want you, you're special. I want you to be able to tie rope around these bundles. Can you do that?" I said, "Well, I'll give it a crack, right?" So I go over, but I wasn't that fast. You had to wrap it real fast, cut it, on to the next one. And the guys that were doing it already, well, they were just little guys, but they were super fast. Did they ever give me heck? "Well, you stupid guy, you can't even tie this up, man. Just do it like that." And I'm going like how? I lasted on that job for about 15 minutes, and I got shot back to the war. No kidding. And then I'd go into Humber College the next day to try to study music. It only lasted for about a week. I couldn't do it. I said, "I'm out. I'm out. I'll starve. I won't have any money." But they were giving me heck. This is just a little example. He did that for 20 years. Wow. Longer. So the world isn't always a very nice place, so we have to rise above it. Whatever challenges you are facing this week, God in Christ will enable us to face that And it'll be a lot easier for you if you and I are in the Scriptures, reading, allowing the Spirit to shape us, and also respond in praise. And finally, he says the last verse. Can I get this? Can you go to the last one there? Last one is verse 17. Do all in word or deed, everything. He sums it up. He sums the whole thing up. Do it all in word or deed. We sang a hymn written by Charles Wesley just before the message. It says, "Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labor to pursue. Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all I think or speak or do." That's what we sang. Everything in word or deed. We catch it all up, all of life, wherever you are. Can you honor God wherever you are? Doesn't matter what your job is. You do it all, word or deed, for God. And you are a light. On the floor at Simpsons, my mom, for years and years and years, this little Irish lady running around. But she took that seriously. In word or deed, how she responded to customers, to be a light, took that seriously. Paul says, you offer it all up. So we put on this list of virtues by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We put on forgiveness. We put on love. It enables us to live peacefully as we receive God's word, as we give him praise. So that's a choice, and it's a choice that we make every day because this process goes on and on. It isn't just one time. Every day we put this on, not as a burden, because it changes us. It enables us to become more like the image of God, Paul says in another place. So may we hear his word, may we say yes, go deeper in him. In Jesus' name, amen.